for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Pleb Underground, the 31st episode, max integrity mode, easily it flowed, not a trickle through a rock, you got one shot, next Glock isn't next block, remember, Bitcoin isn't violence, it's free speech, shock, silence. They say no pains, no gains, no hopium in my veins. Take orange pills, don't inject. I try not to interject when others are talking, but this is high-functioning autism, like Tourette's but more verbose. More articulate, here's your dose. Each week I keep finding new unnatural articulation. Words coming quick but no premature ejaculation. They had at least 6.15 until the accident boating, but we're no longer with the illusion that is voting. You know democracy is a scam. It'll never go to plan. Redistribution of wealth isn't the answer. On the productive, taxes are a cancer. This fake fiat world has already been tried. Too much plastic like polyvinyl chloride. VC valuations get belied. Real lives battered, deep fried. It's not fish and chips, better buy the dips. Stack sats every day. This bear was because you didn't accept 58K. Always on Twitter, there's some new MF gloom. Someone tweeting all caps, this is for MF doom. Rhymes like dimes, a new lyrical hit. Better steady yourself, don't want that vomit spit. 5 days a week, I'm in the gym. Putting on muscle and getting a little trim. With more logic each week, will the world be left to the meek? East Coast, West Coast, underground where the plebs host. With Bitcoin, fiat slavery is toast. Memers cook up and roast. Hit up Crypto Cloaks, grab two packs. It's no biggie, not a shitcoin like Stacks. Privacy to prevent the snoop. Bugs should be fixed, not added to the gloop. Bitcoin is Kenny, not Cartman or Kyle. How public should you be if you've been in mining for a while? Bitcoin's a riot, a marathon, not just 8 Mile. Mine with low leverage, got that Hut 8 style. Some miners selling hieroglyphic things. Naming their pool after the Valley of the Kings. Taking liquidity from denial. Is it really that dry by the Nile? To have a wrap on your privacy is not shady, Slim. Bitcoin's been adopted by the bright and the dim. Better to be dim than have midwit hubris, like some of those you see who are new to this. Just because you're a thread articulator, that don't make you a Bitcoin educator. Math rules everything around me, whether it's rational or like Surd's Pi and E. Couple more lines, now we got it going on. The lines get published. If you want to sing along, this isn't a song, but the words come from the heart. The basement of money is the societal poison dart. You know Bitcoin is what you need. Incentives aligned with greed. Climb aboard the orange lifeboat before it's too late. If humanity doesn't adopt it, what will be our fate? How many eights, I think that was 9, without distributed proof of work, you can't time. Unsuccessful miners, the nonce they can't find. Our guest this week, you guessed it, Nick can't mine.
Walton, that was absolutely awesome. Yeah, I didn't think that you could top last week. Last week was pretty freaking amazing, and that was absolutely epic. And guys, in case you didn't understand it, that's right, we've got special guest, Nick can't mine, fellow Bitcoiner, and head of news at Bitcoin Mag. Nick, thank you so much for joining us, my dude.
Yo, thanks for having me on. That was a dope rap, Walton.
Thank you very much. Number going up, just like this week.
All right. Speaking
of numbers. If you use the wrong units, right? Because, again, Moscow time. So anyway, Phil, can you tell us, how are the numbers this week?
We are moving on over to the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers, of course, brought to us by TimeChain Stats and TimeChain Calendar. Please check them out.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 781,231. The Bitcoin price, the Bitcoin fiat exchange, 26,750. Total public lightning capacity, 5,402.63. Moscow time, 37:38. Yeah.
Under 4K, guys. What is going on? What is happening? The sats are running out, Phil. What's happening?
I know, huh? And the chain rewrite day, 722. So Bitcoin still secure. We're not shocked. And and Moscow time going down. Nick.
But Phil, I look at it as a positive thing when the number of chain rewrite days goes down, because that means that you've got an increase in hash rate, in which case the kind of current security, you could argue, is going up. So,
yeah. It's true. Nick, how are you feeling these days about Bitcoin? Just, you know, general thoughts.
I'm feeling pretty good about it. You know, I feel like this is the most generic thing to say, but I had like a genuine thought on it this morning. Is like, I've been in Bitcoin for like a while now, and with all these banks crashing and everything and the traditional financial world going to shit, like I really have never felt more safe inside Bitcoin, and my conviction has never been stronger. And like, I really, you know, I remember telling like my family and like some friends back home that like, you know, oh, when the Federal Reserve removed the requirements for banks to hold, you know, like they lowered the requirement all the way down to 0% reserves for banks to hold. And I remember saying like, this is going to go to shit real fast. You know, fast forward 3 years later, everything's going to shit. A lot of banks are starting to fail, and like shit's really starting to hit the fan. And I just think like, I feel so confident and so sound knowing I have full reserves of my Bitcoin, and I can check that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And I'm just feeling good and confident.
Yeah, man, we really get to feel like we're outside just looking in.
Tweet of mine this week on this exact theme, and actually I said I just received this. This was from my dad. I think it's a huge thing, right? We didn't just see these two American banks go down, but we saw Credit Suisse take a huge bailout from the Swiss National Bank. And I think that's a huge catalyst for Bitcoin adoption because, as my dad said, if the Swiss bank is collapsing, then where is safe to put cash? Bitcoin. I'm converted. Right. Now, I think there was a little bit of kind of like he's not going to just buy shitloads of Bitcoin tomorrow, but he's really starting to, he has bought some and he's starting to get it. I think there are these, you know, people say you need multiple touch points. I think, yeah, Swiss banks getting bailed out is a pretty serious touch point for many people who are who have faith in institutions. You know, people of an older generation maybe are really going to start questioning, you know, what's going on.
Well, you know what, let's take a look at some Signal, right, as well. Not only like, you know, that not only the tweet from your the comment from your father, but take a look at this, right? All of this noise and look what's happening, right? JP Morgan, Federal Reserve's emergency loan program may inject as much as $2 trillion of funds into the U.S. banking system to ease the liquidity crunch. Because, see, we're at that stage, right? And I'm sure your father sees it, and it's like, I think you kind of have to have your head in the sand not to see it, but we're at that stage now where every single event is an opportunity to print more money. And what people don't understand is this, right? It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? In this case, they always needed to print more money.
My sister says it's the egg because you have eggs for breakfast and chicken for lunch, but each to their own.
And you know what? Speaking of which, we've got more fireworks. Check out this tweet from Joe Consorti. Banks actually borrowed $152 billion from the Fed's discount window this week, the highest ever. Interbank funding is totally frozen. Fed stepping up as lender of only resort. What do you think? I don't like to do a lot of prediction stuff. What do you think about next week? Do we see another bank failure? Let's, Nick, we'll start with you and then we'll go to Walton. Bank failure next week, yes or no?
I'm trying to do like a Jimmy Neutron brain blast to like an hour or two ago, because I'm like, I swear I have like memory loss or something. I'm so bad. But I read something that I think it was JP Morgan is considering buying Silicon Valley Bank, if I remember correctly, and they're weighing up options to see if, you know, that's something they want to do for Monday. So this weekend, it's going to be really interesting to see what takes place leading up to that, and if that actually happens. It seems like, I mean, all of these smaller banks are just going to, you know, be bought up by these bigger banks, and we're going to have like, you know, 2 to 4 big banks here in the U.S. And, you know, that could go down really bad when, you know, things come to does the government want to like pursue a CBDC or not? I think
those comments were echoed by Janet Yellen, right, in that interview this week, where she says that essentially these big banks have access to kind of unlimited borrowing, whereas these regional community banks don't have that same access. And I think it was a senator maybe asking some questions, and then said that of course you're going to see customers move from those community banks, rural banks, into these large banks because they have that additional bailout security, essentially, for when the banks fuck up and lose all your money.
Yeah, and then all these people would get screwed over if they don't move over to the big banks. And all I think is, like, a lot of the people using these more rural banks are probably more like right-leaning or conservative. And like, let's say, JP Morgan has a history of, deplatforming people like Kanye West, for example, and other people for speaking out against, the current thing. What happens if they start deplatforming a bunch of, small town, hardworking, normal, everyday people because, they don't take a vaccine or because, they have a different political opinion? JP Morgan like will do that. And then that when JP Morgan's their only option, it's like, well, where do they go? How do they buy Bitcoin at that point? Because like a lot of people, don't know how to buy Bitcoin KYC. It's going to be a lot difficult for them to buy Bitcoin non-KYC. Obviously still an option, but just like I'm thinking of like old people who are in like smaller rural America. I just feel like that would not be a good thing. They would have a lot of trouble with that. I'm just trying to like think through all that. And I hate seeing the weaponization of markets and the weaponization of the banking industry used by the government against their own people. And it's gonna, I hope it doesn't get ugly. I really hope things play out well, but I don't think they will.
Isn't it good we have Bitcoin?
Damn it. I was writing down your weaponized bank comment and then I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh god, I'm sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting, like Congressman Tom Emmer has been speaking out a lot lately about like the Biden administration, and he like, I know a lot of people have been talking about this on Twitter, but like even Congressman Emmer has been saying that like the Biden administration is taking advantage of all this market chaos and they're trying to push as many people out, as many banks out of like, the Bitcoin and broader crypto industry altogether. There was that report of, I forgot which bank, but it's like, they were saying that like, oh, we're only going to buy this bank or whatever if you accept to not doing any more like business in this space. And it just seems like there's a huge effort that's very coordinated to attack Bitcoin and like the broader crypto ecosystem at large.
So do you guys think that there's any truth that this was the comment I wanted to make before? Do you think that there's any truth to this Operation Choke Point 2.0, right? Like to essentially to kind of slow down or stop the on-ramps? Because we also had what happened with Signature Bank this week, right? Supposedly, from what I understood, Signature Bank was actually not in trouble and they were picked. They were chosen to lose. And in that video with Janet Yellen talking with, I don't know if it's the Ohio governor. I could be completely wrong about this. But essentially, she explains that they couldn't risk a contagion into the broader market. So they...
I think that's that same clip that I was referencing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, it is the same clip. So, like, I mean, what is that? And then, of course, when the speaker pushes back on that and explains how the taxpayers will be the ones ultimately to pay these fees, right? Because the banks are going to raise their fees. She just Janet Yellen actually lost her shit and just said, "Look, if we don't do this, you're going to have a bigger crisis." You know something? They said the same thing in 2008, 2009, and here we are.
Yeah, and actually these two bailouts are the second and third largest, only trailing Washington Mutual back in that 2008 time.
Yeah, Washington Mutual was actually bigger than SVB. I think it was bigger.
That's what I'm saying. So SVB and what's the other one? Signature?
Signature Bank, yeah.
Yeah, those two are the second and third biggest. Yeah. But again, some people say, oh, it's not a bailout, and give you some long-form midwit answer about how, oh, it doesn't increase the money supply, blah, blah, blah. You know, just like a load of fucking nonsense. Like, it's fiat shenanigans. You shouldn't tolerate it. You don't have to tolerate it. Adopt Bitcoin self-custody. Let's go.
You know what? You know what's interesting? It's like they're telling you, they're like, wait a second, okay? The left hand is printing $2 trillion while the right hand is bailing out the banks. They're not actually...
So then which hand is doing the reach around, Phil?
No, but that's the thing, right? It's from the same source. It doesn't make a difference. Like, they're printing money. It doesn't, like... I hate the semantics and the mental gymnastics that they do to try to make the public buy this absolute bullshit.
Yeah, I think going back to your original question, I do think there is a case to make that, like, yes, this was like a legit coordinated attack, and they're going after the big banks that like do support this entire industry. And from what I've been hearing in the talks that I've heard, that it's getting harder and harder for like Bitcoin startups, for example, to get funding from banks and like to have a bank work with them, because like they're being told not to touch this asset class. And it's like, you know, one of the big banks I can think of next that's gonna but could go down is like Prime Trust. What happened if Prime Trust goes down? We know Swan uses it. We know Strike uses it. We know a bunch of other companies use Prime Trust.
I think Strike aren't dependent on it, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I just see like a lot of people in Congress pushing this narrative that, yeah, like the Biden admin is doing it. I mean, these are Republicans saying that. So like, am I getting swindled by that? Who knows? But I feel like they have a strong case. But then like the thing with, it's just so coincidental that the Federal Reserve all of a sudden launched FedNow, or announced their plans to launch FedNow, which, if you don't know what that is, it's not a CBDC. It's not a new money, but it is a payment rail that kind of sets the stage for a potential CBDC. And this is something I've been watching really closely for the last couple months, mainly because when last year the Biden admin put out, you know, their executive order to research Bitcoin and the crypto space and, you know, CBDC and how like the US is going to move about it going forward. And they only ended up releasing one or two of the four things that they were supposed to. And they were supposed to release one last October. And the one they were supposed to release was about, should the United States adopt a central bank digital currency or not? They never released that report. And Congressman Tom Emmer said that the Biden administration had wrote up a report on how to issue a CBDC behind the backs of Congress without their approval, which if they were going to issue a CBDC, they would need Congress's approval. So he's saying that they found out a way to do it without Congress's approval. And now they've been kind of dead silent on it. And now they just launched FedNow. So I'm watching how this develops. I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, I don't want a fucking CBDC in my country. I want to see my country adopt Bitcoin. So I'm really just interested in watching how this all plays out.
We actually dropped a clip about FedNow today. I was doing some research on this yesterday. So interestingly enough, because I'm very interested in this. So yeah, you're right. It's not a CBDC, right? Because it is an offering to the banks, right? To get the banks. I think it's a middle ground. I think it's a step, right? Like they're taking this step to see how this works. And then eventually the ultimate retail, the retail option is going to come out. And I think that that's what we're going to see next. So I do, it's kind of interesting because people think that like the banks and the Fed are all on the same side, but they're not. Like regional banks and stuff like that, like they are not on the same side of the Fed necessarily, and they would rather have them out of the way. Like right now, the banks are kind of like a necessary evil that they have, right? So everybody plays nice. But if the Fed could be issuing that currency directly to the people and knocking all these people out... you know, They don't give a shit. It's all about power and control. And the other piece, the other piece I wanted to add, Walton, before you go and wrap this up. Interestingly enough, FedNow also not only was it released yesterday, but it also completely debunked the XRP narrative, right? Because it's using that standard, that protocol, the ISO 20022. It's actually using that standard, and there's no mention of the Ripple network. There's no mention of XRP. Like,
every time I hear XRP,
using that shit, huh?
Every time I hear XRP, I hear RIP.
Oh yeah, exactly, right? Like, and it's just hilarious because, of course, right? If you go and read up on that standard, anybody can develop a technology around that type of messaging standard. Nobody's gonna fucking use your shitcoin. Anyways, I just thought it was absolutely hilarious that FedNow, you know, gets released, and at the same time they just totally debunk this shitcoin that's, you know, essentially been milking noobs for like 6 years now. Or 5 years, I don't even know. Walton, any final thoughts on the on this before we wrap up the numbers?
I mean, fuck shitcoins.
Definitely fuck shitcoins.
Yeah.
All right. We are moving on over to Wrecked. Wrecked is brought to you by CryptoCloaks. Check them out, CryptoCloaks.com. Also serving Europe, CryptoCloaks.co.uk. Use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off on awesome 3D prints, such as the 3D printed grenade that holds the Open Dime. You can also help support defending BTC and the Space Cat by purchasing the Space Cat helmet ornament. Part of the proceeds of that goes to defendingbtc.com. And again, don't forget to use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off CryptoCloaks.com. Guys, we had an absolutely epic week of just total wreckage and carnage. And I think that this tweet from Corey Clipston definitely starts off the segment correctly. Here we go. That's right, Corey. Yes, it did. Something went wrong, and that is the SVB Twitter.
That's a great joke from Corny Clipston there, I have to say.
It is, man. That's great. I love that. It's like, yes, it did. Anyway, so SVB wrecked. We are all totally aware of that. So in this segment of Wrecked, we are going to go through some shitcoin fails. Okay, then we're gonna hit that. Then we're gonna hit some just regular fails, and then we're gonna end it off with, unfortunately, some Bitcoin fail. All right, so there's a whole bunch of wrecked going on for everybody. So let's keep going here. All right, next on the list of the shitcoin failures from Pledditor, this is a great chart: Ethereum NFT mints wrecked. I mean, don't get me wrong. As Bitcoiners, we knew that this was going nowhere. We knew that this was garbage, but it's just...
Has the Ordinal stuff got anything to do with this? Is Bitcoin stealing NFT market share? I don't know.
Like, the thing we don't want is somehow destroying the shitcoin market for their JPEGs that nobody owns.
Yeah, but I do. It is a shame that, like, the kind of base fees in the mempool are now a bit higher, seemingly. I mean, you can seem to kind of get it, you know, at some point it does clear, right? And you can kind of get cheap, but it's, yeah, we got a bit comfy with such a low fee environment, I think. Again, you want block space to be used, right?
Ultimately. I want you, yeah, oh yeah, big time. And I want you guys to hold on here, because the next tweet gets ultra cringe, okay? As if you thought, so if you didn't think the Solana phone was cringy enough in terms of peak shitcoinery or the weird world coin orb, check this out. This is where it gets really stupid. Shiba Wings in Australia ready for grand opening. That's right. A shitcoin restaurant. The restaurant based in Australia will be accepting SHIB.
Phil, dogs don't have wings.
And it has a SHIB Inu themed interior. Check this out. With not only logos of SHIB, but also SHIB Inu tokens placed on the walls, ceiling, and chandeliers. This is the best part, Walton. The integration of SHIB in this restaurant is a great example of decentralization. That's right, they just said that. They just said that making a restaurant and putting random shitcoin stuff on the wall is a great example of decentralization.
Like, literally placing something in one place is the most, like, definitive centralization that exists. Like, how can you claim, oh, I put this here, that's decentralized now.
is like Shiba Inu, like nodes, just like a bunch of restaurants or something, like with like terrible food.
It's
Like you
probably
go there.
someone who has a huge bag of it that is trying to pump their bags by pretending it's a real thing in the real world, which is basically what like a lot of shitcoin kind of, cringe influencers do, right? Like I think you've seen some of that sort of stuff. Like, isn't there a aren't there like Solana shops or something like that, and you can buy non I don't know even know what
You
they
can buy
sell, but
nothing.
like, anyway,
I know
I
there's
think they
a.
have some sort of physical item. But again, like, yeah, super decentralized, that the brand has some stores.
The
yeah
people that fall
yeah
for this crap. Sorry, Nick, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I know there was a Bored Ape NFT restaurant that opened, and it had to close like a few months later because they literally got zero customers.
Yeah, that's because people who buy NFTs just eat pizza.
And I'd like to know how many people are buying like these Bored Ape hoodies and stuff like that. Of anyways. Okay, so look, speaking of, Walton hit the nail on the head about the cringefluencers, because that's where we're moving to next. More fallout from FTX. That's right, Walton, thank you very much for providing us the link. YouTubers who promoted FTX are being sued in a class action lawsuit. Oh my gosh, we are surprised. It's not like this happened with BitConnect before. In new legal action taken regarding the exchange's scandal, YouTubers who promoted FTX are being sued in a new class action lawsuit. Moreover, the suing is claiming $1 billion in damages from the connection between the YouTubers and the collapsed crypto exchange platform FTX. Now, keep in mind, they're talking about promoters, not necessarily paid promoters, but simply just promoters. And immediately after we saw that, I start seeing this in our Twitter feed. We start seeing a response from BitBoy. Apparently, maybe it's, his conscience is getting to him. So here we go. So he's saying that he did not make a paid promotion, which is perfectly fine. No one prompted him to say what he said about FTT token, which we are going to show the video in a second. He goes, "You can't sue someone because they have a favorable opinion of something. The point of this lawsuit is I was paid by FTX. Don't believe the memes, dude." Okay, fair enough. I understand that. I get it. Even though people like Trevon James were not paid directly by BitConnect, they still did get sued. He still did get sued. Anyways.
Don't trust anyone who's too fat to get in their own Lambo.
Now, speaking of which, I'm going to just take a quick couple of seconds of this clip. This is from BitBoy's channel. And this is, one of his videos explaining the different shit coins that he
I
promotes.
don't understand how anyone trusts this
I
face, Phil.
know.
Like, how do you look at this guy's face and go, "Yeah, I'm gonna trust him with my investment decisions"? Like, again, it's funny how he's called BitBoy Crypto, right? Because he really is like a man child, isn't he? It's just
It's a
low
lesson
T
in
nonsense, isn't
shitcoining.
it?
It's a
Low T
lesson.
nonsense.
Yeah, man. It's a lesson in shitcoining. You should not be shilling this absolute garbage. Anyways, let's watch this video and see what we think.
Number one is Sandbox. Number two and number three, some coins I've been talking about a lot and speaking very favorably of, you gotta go with FTT and CRO. I really believe these 100%. They have shifted to long-term holds. They both do a lot of similar things. They both got things going.
I mean, I'm behind them 100%, and those have shifted to long-term holds. I understand that that's his opinion. But he is telling you to buy this. I mean, what do you guys think?
I don't like, there's certain verbiage that BitBoy uses and a lot of other scammers use, and they always say you can do so many things with it. It's like I've heard that for so long, and I never understand what they fucking mean by it. Like, what do you mean by it? This can do so many things. Like, when I think of Bitcoin, I buy and I hold Bitcoin. Like, yeah, there are some things you can do, but they're not saying. They're meaning it in a way that like it can do so many amazing things, like it's gonna make you fucking fly and like be able to move through walls and shit like that. Like, that's what normal people think, and I know because that's what suckered me into scams when I was in 2017 and I was a fresh noob. I was like, holy shit, I'm like invincible with these like stupid ass coins. And like there's also another video very similar to this where he is shilling FTT, like there is no tomorrow. And I'm just thinking, when is he going to pull a Richard Hart and really realize that he's got to lay low the best he can, because, you know, the government's coming after for him because he's been shilling all these scams and unregistered securities. And like, you know, it's starting to catch up with them. And I don't know. Personally, my opinion, I hope he goes behind bars. I'm tired of people like this.
Yeah, I, you know, so this is kind of the piece of it, right? Like, I understand that it's quite possible that because he wasn't paid directly by FTX, that he may not be liable, you know, or he may not, you know, have an issue right now. But to me, this is much more about the fact that you know that you've been shilling garbage. Why do you double down on that attitude? It's just crazy as fuck.
Do you think he's being truthful when he says he hasn't been paid by FTX?
I gotta be honest. No.
Do we think it's status? Do we think it's status to believe that pomp and dompers should be bang banged up?
Normally I don't call for like government to intervene and stuff, yeah. But I mean, like, if you're doing like serious crimes, it's just like I don't think that's a status position to say, like, you know, like, oh, if you're doing something that's like obviously like really bad, like you're breaking, like, you know, just I need to be careful with my wording here.
No, I understand. Like, I deliberately posed the question in, yeah, in a kind of like I do believe that some sort of justice should happen.
Yeah,
and I do believe
slope.
It is on the kind of honest, good actors to call out the behavior of bad actors. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, we have to, you know, we have to educate. Now, obviously, the problem is that the, you know, the money printer flows to these nonsense scams. And so then they can pay for a lot of marketing. And so there's a lot to compete with. But ultimately, I don't know, the truth wins in the end, right?
It should, right? It should win in the end, because essentially, you know, time makes fools of us all. And, you know, what is truth is really what's left. We are going to move on to the last piece of Wrecked. That's right. Lightning Labs Tarot Project temporarily frozen for trademark infringement. This whole thing could have been avoided if they changed the name. We cannot allow a competitor to sow confusion in the marketplace by trading on the goodwill associated with our name.
If they just focused on Bolt 12.
And offering nearly identical services under a nearly identical name, which we were using for, but it's not identical. And so, guys, just so people understand, this is Tari Labs that's pushing back. And Tari Labs is backed by, just a plethora of great actors in this space. It's backed by Pantera, Blockchain Capital, and Multi-Shitcoin Cap. And
Pantera, one of the most successful, like, shitcoin hedge funds that have been around for a while.
And Multi-Chain Cap just got wrecked, yeah, repeatedly. That's, what's his name, Kyle Salamana Salmanini or something? It's that guy. And he just has absolutely horrendous takes and tries to get people to buy shitcoins. But, I mean, look, do I care what they call it? No. Does anybody give a shit? Just change the name. Who cares? Nobody has any special attachment. Like, it's not like all of a sudden you change the name.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that catchy.
Nobody knows what they're using. Nobody's using it anyways, to my knowledge.
Yeah, it's like, is it Taro? Like if it's not like it's a super recognizable, catchy thing that, you know, everyone loves. Or
I don't know. Nick, your thoughts? Nothing burger? I mean, to me, this is a nothing burger, but I just wanted to talk about it because why not? I thought it was interesting that shitcoiners are going after them.
Yeah, kind of a nothing burger. And it's like a temporary, I cannot speak English. It's the restraining order is short term. It's not like a long term permanent thing. So Lightning Labs can't build on it for, you know, X amount of time. I've never heard of Tari Labs before, so I thought it was really weird. Like, immediately, like, I just kind of got, like, a red flag going off in my head that, you know, they're backed by, like, the shitcoin funds. I've never heard of them before. Not to say that you're a nobody if I've never heard of you before, but I have been in the space for a while, and it's just kind of alarming to me to see them go after, you know, Lightning Labs like that. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Is Taro, is that used by Bitcoin Beach Wallet?
No,
this is their protocol for issuing like shit coins on top of Lightning.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, this is it's totally separate. I mean, to my knowledge, I don't believe anybody's actually, you know, using it per se yet. It's still being developed. But to your point, right, they can't add any external updates or do any further development on it, supposedly, until, you know, they change their name. And the other thing is this, like, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. Wouldn't technically Taro Labs be bringing light to this unknown Tari Labs? It could be mutually beneficial. I don't know. I just think that this is just like this is just to make noise, right? There's somebody that nobody really.
It's kind of ironic though, right? Like,
let's just make some noise, you know?
It's somewhat ironic in that it's, you know, shitcoin is accusing, I guess you can say Bitcoin, even though Taro is a bit of a shitcoin. Like, shitcoin is accusing Bitcoin of affinity scamming. It's kind of funny.
It is. It definitely is. All right, guys. That wraps up Wrecked. And we are moving on over to the Hopium.
Up next, we have Hopium, sponsored by Represent. Represent are a phenomenal apparel and accessory brand owned by a Bitcoiner. You can find them at representltd.com, and you can get 10% off all of the goodies with the code pleb-underground. That's pleb-underground over at representltd.com. Okay, guys, so for the first story on Hopium, it's one that I've personally been talking about since the beginning of Pleb Underground, which is, how does institutional adoption happen? My thesis is not that you get all these companies putting Bitcoin on their balance sheets, but you see investment in companies that provide products and services around Bitcoin, especially business to business type companies. And what do we see this week? Yeah, so exactly this. We have Wolf, which essentially is a Bitcoin and Lightning accelerator, you know, like some of these we've seen previously, kind of Silicon Valley type incubator things, where you have investment and consulting kind of around these startups. But the new companies in Wolf's inaugural cohort, Wolf being based, I believe, in New York, some different companies. First, bringing self-custodial trading to Lightning using DLCs. Number two, a WeChat-style super app for Nostra and Lightning. Number three, automated Lightning node management. Number four, instant payments and remittances in MENA markets. That's Middle East, Europe, and North Africa markets. Number five, integrating payments into esports tournament organization. I think they already kind of exist, right, with Zebedee. But number six, Lightning monetized content delivery infrastructure. Number seven, Lightning infrastructure and education for enterprises. Number eight, a non-custodial wallet, node management, and Lightning services. So some things we've already seen before, but I'll just also show you the excerpt from Wolf themselves talking about, you know, this group. And they say, they chose eight teams out of more than 100 applications from 36 different countries. They say, despite an ongoing slowdown in many parts of the crypto industry, Bitcoin and Lightning Network are experiencing tremendous growth. The Lightning Network's capacity is at an all-time high, up 63% since the beginning of 2022, and innovation is gathering momentum. The introduction of Bitcoin Ordinals has seen more than 200,000 inscriptions on the blockchain in less than 2 months, and the explosive growth of Nostra continues with more than 2 million pub key writing events. Now, I think there's definitely some kind of hopium in that you should be kind of cautious about. Like, again, some of the Nostra stuff, like, calm down, we're still early, and, you know, Bitcoiners, we should be talking to non-Bitcoiners. We shouldn't kind of just dive into echo chambers and only be there. Nonetheless, yeah, I'm still bullish on Nostra. They continue here. As Wolf heads towards the start of its first cohort in April, fully in person in New York City, the company announced a world-class list of committed investors and mentors, including some of the most influential investors and operating companies in Bitcoin. Participants include Alan Farrington. Now, this guy is smart. If you understand any math, you can see that Alan understands set theory and often has fun on Twitter writing things in kind of formal logic. if you understand it, you recognize that he's a smart guy. Anyway, Alan Farrington is investing. Ego Death Capital, I believe that's Jeff Booth, unless I'm mistaken. Fulga Ventures, these are like Lightning investors. Hive Mind Ventures, not heard of these guys. Kingsway Capital, again, not heard of them. Nidig, okay, we've heard of these guys. Stone Ridge Holdings Group, Urim Capital, and others. You know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and they talk more about the apps again. Guys, investment in Bitcoin and Lightning companies, Hopium, make you bullish? What do you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that was a nice piece. And you know what? I think it's, as you were explaining that, it really got me to reflect on the fact that companies who know that what they're building is complete bullshit, they go to the shitcoins because they need to create something out of nothing. They know that they won't be able to fool somebody for any serious amount of time to be able to actually get the ball rolling. But the companies that believe that they can produce some type of valuable product or service, they come to Bitcoin and they build it on Bitcoin because they actually want to build something that lasts. That's what it seems like to me. You know, so and it's really interesting, right? Like you went through that whole list of all of this. Like to me, that's I see that as infrastructure. That's what I see.
Exactly. That's the thing, Phil, is whether it's gimmicky or whether it's actually kind of built for business, you know, use with like, you know, properly engineered rather than, again, it's not some flash in the pan thing. This is something that's being built for the long term, as you say.
Yeah. That's definitely what it to me anyways, that's definitely what it seems like. Nick, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Yeah, I remember when Wolf first announced, you know, that they were being, you know, I mean, they were announcing that they were doing Wolf. I was really bullish because what they were framing this as is they want to bring in a bunch of people working on Bitcoin and Lightning to New York and have this incubator there where people can have, you know, they're going to fund these people. They're going to give them money to do what they need to get done. And they're going to have Wolf's access. They're going to give access to Wolf's network of like all the people in the Bitcoin industry that they would need or could help them with their projects and stuff they're building. So I'm really bullish. I'm very excited to see what teams get picked and what companies and projects get picked for Wolf. I know their CEO was on Twitter tweeting out the link to this saying, you know, everyone, if this interests you, please go apply on our website. So I'm very interested in this project and I'm very excited to see how it plays out. And I love seeing Lightning is one of my favorite parts of Bitcoin. I really do love it. I think it's amazing. And I'm really excited to see more development and stuff happening here, especially when I've seen so much FUD from shit coiners and like just no coiners, you know, saying, oh, Lightning's dead. You know, the whole world hasn't onboarded to Lightning yet. So that means it hasn't worked. So go use, you know, my shit coin. I'm really excited to see the success of Bitcoin and the success of Lightning. I'm sorry.
Very well said. Very well said, man. And I agree when, you know, it's always the same narrative over and over again from the no coiners and the shit coiners. Lightning doesn't work. Bitcoin doesn't scale. The slow transactions. This week we saw that attorney that randomly popped up. If your Twitter feed is being hijacked by Elon, you probably saw this guy's shitty take. Some attorney who just sat there and decided to start talking about Bitcoin. I'll post some screenshots here for reference, but holy crap. I mean, it is just absolutely brutal. You know, like these people do not do any research whatsoever and they come out with these horrendous takes. So when we see this type of infrastructure that's being built on Bitcoin, again, this is one of those situations. We zoom out, we look at the big picture, and we see while there's a whole bunch of very specific outlets that are giving FUD, the signal is that people with real resources and money are coming and they are building on Lightning and they're building on Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. Guys, the next story, of course, Fidelity. Ooh. Crypto selling Bitcoin and Ether. Yeah, ether literally means nothing, right? Like the word like means nothingness. So that's it's appropriate. Yeah, so like is this a big deal? I think you should kind of pump the brakes a little bit because are they allowing withdrawals yet? I don't believe they are, in which case this is just this is FTX basically. This is except without the illusion that you can withdraw. Yeah, I don't know. Selling paper Bitcoin, I think is not super bullish because that's kind of the problem with gold, right? The problem with gold was that it failed as an inflation hedge because of its centralizing nature, and all the paper products on top of it. Obviously, you can't run a gold node either, which kind of isn't so great. But yeah, guys, thoughts on Fidelity?
Yeah, so they aren't allowing withdrawals right now. They did say that potentially, they didn't put it in their roadmap, but they said that withdrawals could happen in the future. I hope it does. Based on, like, Fidelity has done a lot of really good research on Bitcoin, and they've done, because I've been reading a lot of their research reports that they've done over the last year. And it seems like they have a team over there that like do really get Bitcoin for the most part. Unfortunately, after a while, they added like Ethereum and they started selling, you know, that. And they're probably going to do more shitcoinery as, you know, time goes on just because they know they can make money from it. But on the Bitcoin side, I could definitely see them offering withdrawals as well, especially as like, you know, Bitcoiners just demand that they want that as their product. So yeah, I mean, I'm bullish on it. I like Fidelity overall. I think they have from what I've read it, you know, from their research, it seems like they get it, you know, so we'll see how things play out.
Yeah, Fidelity is an interesting story, right? Because like Nick, you and I essentially came into Bitcoin around the same time. So we've been seeing these Fidelity research papers like since like 2018, I think, right? Like they've been doing this really steadily for a while and quietly to a certain, I mean, don't get me wrong. Sure, they make the announcements, but nobody really seems to care. Now, what's interesting is that if I'm not mistaken, PayPal, right? They didn't offer withdrawals at first and then they did. I think they did end up having to enable withdrawals if you purchase Bitcoin from them. I got to go back and check. But what I find interesting is that, and it's not, I shouldn't say it's interesting, but it's just kind of like obvious. They always want to custody your Bitcoin first, right? They always want to hang on to your assets first because essentially, and I'm not saying Fidelity does this, but financial institutions get to borrow and essentially lend more the more assets they have, which doesn't really make a difference anymore because of, you know, fractional reserve banking and whatnot. But the point is that they always want to take control of your Bitcoin, and you have to scream and shout from the rooftops to be able to get those features, which seem to be, you know, they seem to be obvious features that you should have, which is the ability to self-custody. If I buy Bitcoin, I should be able to take it into self-custody. That should be, to me, that should be a feature right off the bat. Robinhood didn't do it. PayPal didn't do it. I just think immediately it's this, like, even though I like Fidelity, it's this, you know, it's like, why do you do that? And especially of all the companies, Fidelity, the amount of research that they've done, that to me should have been like one of the first features that they put in. So it's kind of weak. Obviously, I think it's shitty that they're selling Ethereum. Obviously, like it's completely useless. Look, you know, they can make money off of it, they're going to make money off of it. You know,
one thing I've noticed is when FTX collapsed, like you said, they've been doing these research reports for a few years now. And if I remember correctly, they started mining Bitcoin in 2014. Mm-hmm. But after the FTX collapse, I think they realized they have a very unique, you know, I won't say power grab, but they have a very unique opportunity in the market where a lot of people want exposure to this asset class, but they don't know who to trust. They just saw FTX happen. The media absolutely ripped them apart, scared away every single, you know, person somewhat interested in this industry. Even my grandpa, who knows nothing about this, was reaching out to me asking specifically, and he named him by name, Sam Bankman-Fried. I never thought that would have happened. And like, I mean, everyone knows about FTX.
Yeah.
What Fidelity realizes is they are a very trusted, you know, old institution, and they know that they can scoop up this market share if they act quickly. So I started seeing a lot more ads about Fidelity, you know, all over the internet or on my phone. And yeah, I was like typing it in, and, you know, my FBI agents, you know, putting those ads there because he knows I'm talking about it. But like, I did notice a significant increase in Fidelity crypto ads. No, Fidelity Digital Assets, I believe that's the name of their branch. And they were marketing that like crazy. Like, oh, you know, they had these videos like, oh, you're into crypto? Like, oh, check out Fidelity Digital Assets, you know, buy Bitcoin there. I saw those
ads. I think they're actually bound to use the term digital assets. I think I saw a clip with, was it maybe Caitlin Long, saying how I think that is the term that banks have to use essentially when it comes to these things, is they have to use the term digital assets. Like, that's a regulatory, you know, bit of nonsense.
Yeah, I know that from my research, when I look up these financial institutions, they almost always use the word digital assets, or they say cryptocurrencies when they really mean Bitcoin. Sometimes they'll say digital assets, yes, like Bitcoin, but they tend to just group everything together. They very rarely, you know, separate Bitcoin from crypto. Like, I know Fidelity does that actually in their research reports. They separate it completely. They actually released a report saying like why you should only look at Bitcoin as in comparison to the other cryptos, but I'll have to go back and find that.
Okay, guys, so moving on to the next story. What is the problem with having low rates, like artificially low rates? I need you to look at the second paragraph here. Low rates means that you get shit companies with lots of money, because the, you know, the VCs chuck a load of money into them, and then you get good people moving to these shit companies, which means that it's then hard for kind of good companies to grow. And by good companies, we mean ones that actually produce real value. And then that causes crowding out of people working on, you know, useful ideas because they're working on get rich quick schemes, which means lower real growth and productivity innovation for society in the long run. So, for example, here they're talking about Coinbase were hiring engineers apparently from healthcare companies by paying them 600 grand a year, you know, to essentially build a glorified on-ramp to consumer gambling, right? Crypto. Is society really better off when our best and brightest engineers are working on making sure you can quickly invest in Dogecoin? No, it's not. And so actually, one advantage of rates going up slightly is hopefully that get rich quick schemes get squeezed, and then can't hire engineers that could actually be doing useful things and producing real world value.
I think this is definitely one of those situations where Bitcoin fixes this. I think, you know, this goes back to an old, you know, Bitcoin conversation, you know, kind of the philosophical side, you know, of Bitcoin, where essentially we liken it to the Renaissance, where we believe that because the money is sound, it will enable people to, quote unquote, follow their passions, follow their hearts, and essentially build lifelong projects, maybe projects that extend beyond their lives, because it's a worthwhile task and they are now enabled to do it because they're able to hang on to their resources, right? We're able to carry our value through time. So I think that this is, you know, I really like that tweet. That was very well written. I find that's a difficult it's a difficult concept to express because people don't understand it, because all we have is fiat money. You know, a lot of times when you sit there and you try to talk to people about, you know, Bitcoin fixes this, they're like, they can't see past the innovation that we have right now. Like a lot of times I will get this rebuttal of like, what are you talking about? The world isn't, you know, the world isn't garbage. There's all this amazing innovation.
Phil, they don't understand game theory.
Like, this is like, I'm sorry, but this is like survivors. This is like this like survivor's guilt, you know, or something like that, where essentially you think that because this is the game that you're in, this is the best possible conclusion of all, like essentially of all the results that could have happened. And it's not. We have a shitty money. And yeah, we do have some good things that came of it, but I think that we're misunderstanding or misrepresenting how much better things could be with the sound money, and we have no way to quantify it. Anyways,
well, so they're naive to how incentives drive behavior. It's like the, you know, the meme with the two stalls, uncomfortable truths, and comfortable lies. They're all queuing up for the comfortable lies because living. And in a world where you recognize truth, is challenging. Like, it's pretty stressful. Like you can see problems that are going to happen, and most people just, you know, want to just get on and protect, you know, and ignore things that could happen and just kind of, I don't know, get on with their lives. And I mean, I, you know, lives obviously are for living, but at the same time, don't you want to build for the future?
Yeah. I agree. Nick, your thoughts on this one?
Growing up, like, with easy money, I've seen, you know, only a world where, like, you know, kind of like what you described with, like, you know, people not, you know, engineers working on, like, things that they shouldn't be, and people, like, kind of misallocating their time and, like, resources and energy towards things that, like, they don't really care about, towards things that aren't really, like, that important, or some things that just aren't straight up important at all. It would be really interesting to see how a switch in the monetary standard could usher in like a completely different way of life, where people are, you know, spending their time on stuff that actually gives them, you know, like fulfillment in life, and something that like they actually improves the world and leaves, you know, but so when they leave the world, you know, they left it a better place than it actually was. Yeah, so that's pretty much all I have to say on that. I don't know what I don't know, and I'm interested to see how living on a Bitcoin standard plays out.
Yeah, I think very well said, right? We don't know what we don't know.
Okay, guys, the final story in Hopium. I'm gonna name someone here. I'm gonna name a couple people, I guess. We've seen how Plan B's model has failed, right? I don't know if there was a Plan C. I think we just skip straight over Plan C and we go to Plan D. Now, who is Plan D? Well, of course, I mean, you know, the most trusted chihuahua that does TA in the game. You know, that guy with the pool. Apparently Bitcoin's just gonna go, it's just gonna moon like pretty soon. Like, let's have a little look at this chart. So yeah, looks good, right? I like the look of that. What's it, just up?
That right there is the, what I was telling you before, that is the Hopium arc right there. That's what that is. Look, you gotta love the angry chihuahuas charts. I have to admit, I am a fan. I am a fan of his brand of Hopium, and it definitely makes me feel better in dark times. But that arc, man, that arc, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. You wanna believe, but some days.
I'm interested to see what happens with Bitcoin price. You know, like right now, I was talking with, I was talking earlier today, I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he was saying, you know, what do you make of this pump? And I thought, you know, the halving is next year. And I think back to in 2019, when we pumped from like 3K to 14K or 13.9K, and I was like, holy shit, it's the dawn of a new bull run. Like, we're going up only, here we go. And then what happened? We crashed back down to 3,000 in early 2020. And I just think like that was caused by like, you know, the COVID shit and like the government shutting everything down. And I think like, are we going to have another like event that sends us going back down? Maybe not like of that magnitude, but like, what if we have another failure that sends us back down? You know, I mean, like, just from the 3AC and Luna Terra shit, I mean, we went down pretty hard this bear market, probably harder than we should have. But will we see 15K again? Who knows? But like, you know, Bitcoin's a pretty wild beast. It does what it wants. But I'm just kind of thinking like the halving is next year. Bitcoin usually goes up like, what, 6 months after the halving or something like that, or starts to creep up because of the supply shock that happens. So who knows how
is there really a supply shock? Can we talk about this? Because to me, there is a new supply shock. I will agree with that. But when we talk about supply, we're talking about how much can be sold, right? And that's really, well, that's what's sitting on exchanges, because exchanges can sell your corn, and they can probably sell more than what corn you have, especially if it's the people that are on the exchange and haven't yet withdrawn it. And so guys, if you actually want supply shocks to happen, you have to withdraw your coins from exchanges. So please take self-custody, use a signing device. Yeah, if you want to learn more, there's a bunch of people that'll help you out.
I think in Walton, you make a good point about, is it a supply shock? It's not a supply shock, right? Like it's not even a shock, because it's completely predictable and it's completely expected, which is what I think is hilarious about this whole thing, right? People sit there and they gear up for the halving, you know, and it's like, yeah, you knew this was coming anyways. You knew.
But I'm just saying it's a drop in the ocean compared to how much corn is on exchanges. Like, yeah, if you've got 2 million corn exchange, like it doesn't matter how, like, you get a few hundred more Bitcoin every day. It doesn't mean anything.
I know, exactly. We're both saying the same thing, just from different angles, but that's exactly it. You know, like, it's really a shock? No, it's still Bitcoin supply that's out there. And actually, interestingly enough, the amount of Bitcoin that is on exchanges has been dwindling. So there's actually much, you'd be surprised how few Bitcoin actually make up the market that we see, the price. Because it really does have
ultimately
more and more
make it, but the whole point is that the margin, the you know, the margin sets the price, and so therefore it really should be very few that set the price, if that makes sense, Phil.
That's true.
Because there shouldn't be much bought or sold.
That's definitely that's definitely a good point. Nick, any thoughts on this?
No, I mean, you guys make good points. I'll probably just say supply shock still, because that's like the best way I can think of,
of course,
describing it. But no, you know, I'm excited to see what happens. I always tell people, learn about, you know, Bitcoin, the monetary asset, the Bitcoin, the monetary network, learn about why we have Bitcoin, other than, you know, when moon, are we going to moon soon? Because like Bitcoin, you know, I'm sure everyone's seen like a billion tweets saying this week, but like Bitcoin genuinely was built for the current time we're living in. And, you know, it's like, literally, I don't know what I would do without Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin really allows me to, like, I mean, having full control of your assets and being able to tell the government, fuck you, at a time like this. And, you know, really say like, you know, I can move with my money. I can do whatever I want with my money. You can't stop me from transacting. And you can't print me into oblivion. You literally cannot make me poor by printing more money. Like, that's super powerful. And I think as time goes on, you know, number goes up, adoption happens, more stuff like Wolf accelerators happen and onboard more people. A lot of people are going to just be saying like, you know, I'm adopting Bitcoin, not because I want a Lambo. I'm adopting Bitcoin because I want to increase my quality of life and have a better future for myself. And when you have millions of people all around the world doing that, like, that really is like revolutionary. So I'm super bullish on Bitcoin. What's going to happen with the price in a few years, I don't know, but I'll be here for the ride.
It's funny, very bullish. We call it saving, right? I think ultimately Bitcoin is a savings technology.
Correct.
Does it have, you know, the capacity to save humanity? We shall see.
All right, everyone. That wraps up the show for this week. Nick, how can the people find you if they want to find you?
Yo, thanks for having me on again. If you do want to find me, you can just find me on Twitter at Nick Can't Mine. Nick being spelled N-I-K, and then just Can't Mine, because I can't mine Bitcoin.
Awesome. We are going to add, we're going to add your contact details to the show notes. Guys, don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to check us out on our audio only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream us sats, check us out on fountain.fm. You could stream us sats through Breeze. Walton, how do we end this?
Fuck shitcoins.
That's right, everyone. Catch you next week. Yeah.